Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. We're pretty close to 100% now, and just in time to head to Fayetteville, Arkansas. So I'm recording this Thursday night, so if I seem a little bit out of sorts at times, it's because I'm trying to pretend it's Friday. So let's not try to do that too much, right? But yeah, feeling great. Had a great day down at the spa. Got some content up for you this morning over Gene's page. Had a really, really busy day at True Rest of Starkville. You need to partake in that if you're a person that suffers with anxiety or chronic pain or just need some time to yourself, maybe a little pampering. Dial 662-268-7601 for more information, or just download the True Rest app. You can book online or you have to talk to anybody. Maybe you're one of these, socially awkward people. You're like, I don't want to deal with anybody. That's cool. Have it your way. More information at truerest.com. I tell you, it's Mother's Day weekend, so we're going to have a top 10 list centered around mothers, kind of boneyard style. So, you know, it won't be a lot of country stuff. Yeah, you know. We could probably put together, you know, Mama's Song and all that from Carrie Underwood. And I'm sure we could find some Trisha Yearwood stuff, all that kind of stuff. But that's not really my bag. If you enjoy that, that's cool. I'm not judging any stretch, but we got a pretty cool list today. But a little bit different, right? A little bit different. No F words. But all that understood, it's a great weekend. And before we get too deep into the show, because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Arkansas Razorbacks, we'll look at the weekend schedule. A lot of good things to talk about. It's true. But I'll tell you this. We have Mother's Day. You know, it's so weird to, like, Mother's Day, like, your mom will get, like, a, you know, breakfast in bed and get a bunch of gifts, and all the kids call and everybody's got to send flowers, and then, like, dad gets like, a, you know, pair of socks. You know, you know, it's true. It's true. You know, maybe you treat your dad better than that, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I remember being a kid, you know, Mother's Day was such a big deal. You know, we'd all go out to dinner and all that kind of stuff and be a big deal, get mom a corsage or something for Mother's Day. You buy that through the church, have all that stuff ready, and, you know, have a big ceremony. And it was a big deal. And then, like, on Father's Day, I'd give my dad a coffee cup, you know, because he broke his other one. it's so silly how it is. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's equitable, because it's not. But all that understood, you know, I enjoy Mother's Day. I do. And I'll tell you why. And maybe you have been as equally blessed as I have. I have had the joy of having some amazing women in my life that have mothered me, right? And I don't mean from a dating standpoint, right? I never really wanted that anyway. But I know some people, as soon as they get old enough to get out of the house, they want to go marry somebody to take care of them. And many of you do that. Many of you women do that, and that's what you prefer, right? Have somebody take care of. That's cool, too. You know, again, I'm not judging. But, I think about, like, my grandmother, Mamaw Selman. And we lost her to Alzheimer's, and I think I've shared with you guys before. One of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me, ever, is when my grandmother was really sick with Alzheimer's, and she had to be put in a nursing home and have 24-hour care. And we knew that it was getting close. I'd been to see her a few times, and it was bad. It was terrible. It really is. It's a terrible way to go. None of them are great, but that's a terrible one there. And to see someone that you love that has been so strong, such an integral part of your life, to see them in such a weakened condition is difficult. It is. And so I got ready to go see her for the last time. And I knew it was the last time. You know, and everybody had told me, you know, she hadn't known anybody in weeks. And I said, hey, just don't get your feelings hurt. But she's probably not going to know you. And so I went in to go see her. And all of a sudden, it was like this fog was lifted from her eyes. And she looked at me and I said, Memo, do you know who I am? And she smiled and she says, you're Stephen. It's the last thing she ever said to me. But she knew that I was there. I get emotional thinking about that stuff. I really do. I'm not going to lose it here on the show. But it was a great gift to have that final moment with her to let her know that I loved her. It's true. Because I learned so much about life from my grandmother. As you guys know, my childhood wasn't the best until my mom remarried. Then we had a really, very stereotypical middle-class upbringing in Columbia, Mississippi, and I'm very grateful to my stepfather. And did a great job taking on the responsibility of raising two boys that weren't his, and he treated us like his own. But when I was a kid, you know, I lived with my grandparents, and my mom was there too. I can't begin to imagine, you know, my mom, you know, being the daughter of a pastor and getting divorced in the early 70s, you know, because nobody believed in divorce back then. If you got divorced, people always said, well, she must have been cheating. And that was just kind of the scarlet letter of those days. And I can't begin to imagine my mom going through all that. And if you know my mom, you kind of understand that. You know, my mom is, you know, one of the kindest people I've ever known, arguably the most thoughtful person I've ever known. She's kind of like Ron Polk in the fact that if she's ever met you, she's already thinking about sending you a birthday card. And now that she's on Facebook, she's prolific with all that. I'm constantly having to tell her about what not to share. And what I mean by that is, and this will be my public service announcement too, and we'll get back to the great women in my life. But guys, stop sharing these lost dog posts that have the comments turned off. Like, it's one thing if your friend has lost their dog, right? Because think about it, if somebody's lost a dog, they're going to leave the comment sections open just in case somebody has seen their dog. Is like, hey, I saw this dog out there at Highway 12. Go look for it, right? I mean, if somebody's truly lost their dog, then they want as many responses as they can get. They want to have the lines of communication open to find said lost canine. If they have comments turned off, it is a scam post where they're basically profile pirates. That's what they're doing. You share this, oh, I found this dog laying on the road, and it's the recent one is like some shaggy dog, and I think he's laid on every road in Mississippi. It's crazy, right? And so I share that with you. If you're one of those people that has a heart for animals, you know, work through the Humane Society or work through your friends. Do not share those posts. And there's always that, always back again, stealing catalytic converters. And it's like, you know, some picture of some, you know, nondescript person. It's usually somebody, you know, some person of color or something, some guy from Mexico or whatever. And then, like, the same post is, like, shared. Oh, he's in Aberdeen. He's in Biloxi. You know, he's in Wiggins. You know, he's up there in Clarksdale. You know, it's always something. But if anybody shares those posts and they turn off comments, don't share that. I'm being your friend here. Don't do that. But my mom, I think I've kind of got her to the point she understands now. That's part of my responsibility as her son, not just to protect her identity on social media. I just don't want my mom looking bad and having the whole unit look bad, right? I'm kidding. But anyway, all that I understood. And, you know, when my mom got divorced, it was a tough time. She decided to go back to school. And my Aunt Kathy took care of me. And my Aunt Kathy wasn't blessed with the ability to have children. In so many respects, I have always been her baby. And she still reminds me of that because a lot of our DNA is similar. You know, I look kind of like her. And our feet are similar, as she says. But all that's kind of silly. But and then, of course, I get in the dating world. The thing that I find out when I got in the dating world is that not all women were raised as well as the ones that raised me. True story. True story. And so it took some time, took some heartache, and I found one that was. And I remember the very first time that Dana met my grandmother. What a special moment that was for me to bring Dana home to meet Memo Selman. And you know what I'm talking about, guys, and maybe, you know, some of you ladies do too. You bring the one home, you know, because I was the kind of guy too. I didn't want any of those girls I was dating meeting my family. I want my family meeting them, you know, because I wasn't in it for the long haul. But all that I understood, I remember bringing her home and her meeting Dana for the first time. And Mama walked up to her and she said, well, Dana, we're huggers. And then she hugged Dana. And my family has absolutely adored Dana ever since. And so I've done a lot of things wrong in life. I have made a lot of mistakes. Even after I got clean and sober, I have not lived a perfect life by any stretch of the imagination. Not in any way going to suggest that I have. I made a ton of mistakes. A ton. And I still continue to do some things that I'm not always proud of. But one of the things I got right was I married the right person. Hadn't always been easy. You know, it's like the dude with the sign holds up, hey, you can leave out the ups and downs in your relationship post. Every relationship has ups and downs. They do. Every one of them. And anybody that tells you it's been nothing but wedded bliss since the day they got together is a liar. They're lying. You know, it's true. But yeah, I married the right person, and she's been an amazing mother to these four children of ours. And that's one of the things I've told Anna. I said every year on Mother's Day, I want to make sure that your mom gets flowers even after I'm gone. If I got to pay you in advance, I want to make sure it's taken care of. You know, it's very important. And so I encourage you, take care of your moms and the mothers of your children. And for some of you, that may be a lengthy list. But all that said, the gift of fatherhood is something that I don't know that a lot of people fully appreciate. I mean, honestly, I mean, you think about, especially when you're in love with somebody in your relationship and, you know, children are conceived and born in love. You know, the fact that a woman, you give a woman your time and your love and she gives you back a family. I mean, honestly, and just let that sink for a second, right? That some woman out there loved you enough to make you a father, even if the relationship didn't work out, right? I mean, but for that moment, and I guess unless I get it, there are accidents out there. I got a friend of mine that, you know, it seems like he's just accident prone. But my point being is that Mother's Day is something that we should always revere. Now, there are some of you that don't have great relationships with your mom, and that's unfortunate, right? And sometimes it's not your fault. You know, the world will want to tell you, you know, you need to forgive everybody no matter what. And I'm a firm believer in forgiveness, but there are some things that are difficult to forgive. It's true. And so if you're one of those people, it's estranged from your family, your mother, that's a tough thing. Without your mom, man, life is tough. But there are some moms out there that are, none of them are perfect, no matter what we all say on our cards and things like that. No moms are perfect. But I believe that most moms, the overwhelming majority of moms, make a perfect effort. I think they give all they have. And so if you're one of those kinds of folks that's estranged from your mom, my heart goes out to you. There was times that I was. But I hope at some point that we can all can be forgiven and you can reconcile. And you know what? You don't have to do that. You don't owe me that, but you may owe it to yourself. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I love them more than a friend. It's just a part of my wife, my weekly life. Here I'm hung up on that. But I got to get in there. And a lot of it is because they've won me over, right? From the very beginning. It's one of the reasons when they first contacted us about advertising, I just said, absolutely yes. And so we worked out a deal. We've been together for years. And I like to partner with people that do a great job because I pride myself on giving you guys a great effort. And I wouldn't recommend somebody else that didn't do the same. I know when I go to Bulldog Burger Company, when I put my feet under their table, they're going to take care of everything. I can just sit there and enjoy my evening and have a great cook and kitchen staff prepare my order, great wait staff, great atmosphere. You know, sometimes you go places and you feel like they're trying to rush you out the door. I never feel that way there. I always feel at home. I do. It's a major, major, major thing with me. You know, it's like, number one, I don't want to have to wait too long for a table. When you go to a busy place, sometimes you do. But I also don't want to be rushed out the door either. You just come out there, take my order, and you throw a plate at me and say, get out. You know, I don't like that. I like the pace of the meal to kind of resolve itself of its own volition, shall we say. But when I go to Bulldog Burger Company and I get those spring rolls, I know I'm going to leave there better looking, and I'm also going to get a great restaurant quality hamburger. I'm going to walk out of there feeling refreshed and feeling nourished. I'm going to get that chocolate shake to go. I'm going to ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Star Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Go by and check them out today. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look at the Arkansas Razorbacks. Guess we got our work cut out for us here. But I'll tell you, the more that I have looked at them and studied them, the more I've begun to realize they are not the invincible team that many people are painting them out to be. Now, everybody's going to pick them to beat us with rare exception. And I feel confident we can go up there and get a game. And they have a huge advantage because, you know, Hagan Smith, obviously one of the best pitchers in the country, has given them the opportunity to win just about every Friday. And some would say, well, you know, he's due for a bad game once in a while. Guys, some guys that are excellent, just they never have those games. You know, Paul Skeens never really had that game either, even though he didn't win every game. Still gave them a fighting chance to win. Let's go back and look at the Arkansas, the path to here. They're 40-9 overall. Seven of those nine losses have come in the Southeastern Conference. They are 17-7 in the league. And they've lost two games in a row. They did not play a midweek game this week. They're 31-2 at home. That'll win you a lot when it comes to seeding. Right, that, right? 31-2. They're 6-6 in true road games and 3-1 in neutral games. Guess we are 7-7 in true road games. And, of course, you start working through, you know, some of our home losses are just inexplicable, right? I mean, you go back and think about it, you know. And so I say that because they took care of business in non-conference in a few games that we didn't. That said, when you look at the more recent snapshot, like the last 10 games, Mississippi State's won 8 of 10. They've won 7 of 10. So we're right there together. And I think in many respects, despite what the polls would say, and, you know, of course, they're 5 and we're 14, there's really not a lot of difference in these teams. And matter of fact, Mississippi State's actually better offensively. And so I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're going to take this series, but I won't be surprised if we do. I do think we take one. But let's take a look at Arkansas. And they open up the year with a four-game set against James Madison, and they get three of those four. They lose the Sunday game 7-3, which I think may be the one that we're going to win too. You start thinking about it. We can win Saturday. We got a good chance on Sunday. Of course, TBD is going on Sunday for us. But I think it's important that we win on Saturday. The whole Girangelo-Brady Tigard matchup, I think, is huge for State. But Mason Molina, the regular Sunday starter, there was some chatter earlier this week that he may not pitch again in the rotation this week. You know, they had the game at South Carolina, I guess, and then he missed the start against Florida. Or maybe I have that reversed, but he missed a start, and he's come back, and he worked three innings in one game and 3.1 in the other. So he hasn't been good as of late, and that's something to watch. All right, so they get that James Madison thing, and then they head down to the college baseball series at Globe Life. You remember how much fun we had up there in the national championship year? All these games were competitive. Arkansas takes down, at the time, number 7 Oregon State, 5-4. They slip by Oklahoma State in 14 innings, 2-1. And they get Michigan 4-3. So, they lose to Oklahoma State. But so 2-1 record there in that Globe Life Field Challenge. And, you know, some really good matchups down there. They come back home to Fayetteville, and they take care of Grambling 21-7. And then Murray State, who has recently found some favor in the Magnolia State with Mississippi State fans. Oh, you didn't know? That's right. The Racers beat Ole Miss last night. And quickly, before we get into finish this, as much as I don't like Ole Miss, I have a lot of respect for Mike Bianco. I do. I truly do. That's not just me being silly. I love college baseball. Mike Bianco has done a great thing. Mike Bianco is the Ole Miss coach of all time. And even if he hadn't won a national championship, I think you could make that claim. He did better than Tom Swayze. You know, certainly did better than Jay Gibbs. I mean, you can go back and see the numbers for yourself. Mike Bianco is the tradition of Ole Miss baseball. Now, you remember how much fun we had winning a national championship, and the next year we thought, hey, we got a chance to get back to Omaha. Maybe we can repeat, and it was not even close. It was a terrible year. And so they've gone through that, and now they're in year two of that. And it's like when they lose to Murray State, like even if you just go check social media, there's nothing out there. It's like Ole Miss folks have just completely gone apathetic. And I'll tell you, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. And there are so many Ole Miss fans now that are kind of indifferent about baseball. It's like, you know what, this is the deal. And I've had some people tell me it's not going to be as easy to, quote, get out of that contract. Unless Bianco decides he wants to retire, Ole Miss can't make him unless they're willing to pay him out. And if I'm Bianco, I'm going to make them pay me every dime. But, yeah, so Arkansas sweeps Murray State, who just beat Ole Miss last night in 14 innings. Hit a grand slam in the 14th. That's tough. All right, they take down Central Arkansas. And I know you winced right there because that absolutely should not have been a game for us, but it was. But it was a competitive game for the Razorbacks, too. It was a 9-7 midweek game back on March the 5th. They take down McNeese State in a three-game set. Those games are really not competitive outside of the first one. And in that game, Kendall, in this series, outfielder uber-talented outfielder Kendall Diggs jammed his shoulder. I was on the Dave Van Horn Zoom call this morning, and I had a chance to ask Coach a question, you know, and kind of go through some of this. I didn't plan to ask a question, but Oliver Grigg, who runs baseball media for Arkansas, who is a friend, and Oliver said, "Hey, Steve, do you have anything?" And so I asked him, you know, "Hey, Coach, tell me, you had Mississippi State win an NFL championship and then fade, and then Ole Miss wins one and fade. Now LSU, in some respects, is faded. What's been the key to your sustained success?" And he laughed, and he goes, "I don't want to tell anybody." But you can read his full answer over at Gene's page. It's a free article. It's entitled Everything Coach Dave Van Horn Said About Mississippi State. Try to run those when we can get them. But anyway, so they get through the McNeese State Series. And Diggs a little bit banged up and kind of plagued with it for a while. And just as he starts to get better, he banged into the wall last weekend against Kentucky. So there's some question about is he even going to play, certainly on Friday. Just have to see how things go. He did not swing the bat on Wednesday, but he was expected to swing today to see how he felt, and they would make a decision. And Coach Van Horn is a pro. You know, they're not going to put him out there if he's going to hurt himself or hurt the team for that matter. They take down Oral Roberts 4-2 in a Tuesday, March 12th game, and then they open SEC play with Missouri. And everybody thought, man, look at the breaks here, right? And it's so crazy, too, again, with the gift of hindsight. You go back and look at this. They take down Missouri, who is the last place team in the East, 3-0. And then they get what has proven to be the last place team in the West, and they take 2 out of 3 against Auburn. So right out of the gate, Arkansas, everybody's like, hey, Arkansas is rolling. Arkansas is great. They go through a non-conference schedule, and it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just bologna sandwiches. They went to the Globe Life Challenge, right, and played some real sure enough teams. But you get an SEC play, and your first 6 games proved to be against the 2 worst teams in the conference. And so I say that because I think, basically, in many respects, it kind of props them up a little bit. And at the time, Auburn was 23rd in the country. They may lose 23 games in the SEC when it's all said and done. It's crazy. All right, after that, Little Rock, Arkansas. They play Little Rock, and they knock those guys out 11-0. Then they host LSU. Now, of course, this is the same LSU team that Mississippi State took 2 out of 3 of in the first weekend of SEC play. And Arkansas sweeps them. And if you recall, and these games are very competitive. And you've seen LSU play. LSU's got some dudes that can swing it. Pitching's been a real challenge. But all these games are competitive. And in the Saturday game, game 3, Tommy White hit a shot to left. They ruled foul. Of course, everybody out there in the hog pits going foul, foul, foul. You can't trust those guys. But we'd be doing the same thing. I'm not being critical of the hog pit. Those guys, you know, it's crazy out there. It really is. It's a great atmosphere for college baseball. But you're basically talking a foot difference between LSU taking the lead there late and maybe stealing a game. Not to mention game 2 went 10 innings, 4-3. So LSU went up there, and you got to know it was a raucous environment because LSU was ranked 8th in the country, defending NFL champions. But they handled it for the most part. Even though they didn't win a game, those games are competitive. And this LSU team is not great. And again, LSU, again, we look at, again, the gift of hindsight, right? LSU now tied for the last spot in Hoover. So those are your first 3 series. Well, guess who the 4th one was? After they take care of Tommy Raffo and Arkansas State, it's Ole Miss. So their first 4 weekends of SEC play, Arkansas has played the 4 worst teams in the conference. Let that sink in for a second. Because everybody's like, oh, well, they're just rolling through these guys. It's true. They did. But all that I understood, now that we're 2 weekends to go in the season and you look back in hindsight, it's like, well, wait a minute. Is Arkansas really that great? Or did Arkansas get a peach of a schedule and took advantage of it? Sometimes that's how it works out. It's a much different dynamic. And, of course, they sweep Ole Miss. I wish we would have, but they did. But for the most part, those games are competitive until late. They get San Jose State, 2-game midweek set, take down both of them. And then they go to Alabama, a team that we just beat 2 out of 3. They go to Tuscaloosa, and the Tide takes 2 of 3 from Arkansas. Arkansas wins on Friday night 5-3 and then lose 4-3 in the 10th on Saturday and lose 5-0 on Sunday. Sundays have not, or game threes have not necessarily been great for Arkansas. We talk about beefing up your non-conference schedule. That's one of the things I respect about Dave Van Horn. Other than the fact that he's a great coach, he's not scared to go play ball. They get Texas Tech in a midweek. And granted, it's not a great Texas Tech team. But Timmy Tadlock's one of my favorite coaches in the NCAA. They're going to swing it, even in a bad year. And Arkansas takes both. And then Arkansas goes to South Carolina. And they win Friday night 2-1. Lose the middle game 6-3, and then they had to play those games as a doubleheader on Saturday to get ahead of some weather. But Arkansas wins 9-6 to take the series. So, again, it's competitive. It's not like they're just dominating like they were in 2021. There was no question Arkansas in a regular season was the best team in the country, without question. They just didn't win a national championship. We did. All right, they 10-run rule UAPB. That's Arkansas Pine Bluff, 11-1-7. And then they get Florida. You're thinking, man, what a brutal schedule here. And South Carolina is good. South Carolina is kind of like us. It's true. Well, then you get Florida. Everybody's like, man, what a beefy schedule. And you look at Florida, one of the most underachieving teams in the country this year, considering their preseason projections. And Florida gives them three really good games in Fayetteville. So Smith beats them on Friday night 2-1, played doubleheader on Saturday. Arkansas wins 6-5 and then loses game 3-9-5. So 2 1-run victories, and then you lose a third game. And knowing what you know about life and about baseball, would you say right now that the Florida is a better team than Mississippi State? I would say no. You said, but Steve, they won the series. But should they? Should they have won the series? Wouldn't you like to play them again? I would. But Florida gets a game. A pair of midweek games against Missouri State. They take both of those, and then they go to Kentucky. And I picked Arkansas to take that. No, I did. I picked Kentucky. But a lot of people did pick Arkansas. And I could see it going either way. But I'm going to be honest with you. This was a very Jekyll and Hyde series. So they go out, and they absolutely mash on Friday and win 10-3. And then the next day, Kentucky nearly mercy rules them. It's 11-3. And then Kentucky wins on Sunday 7-4 and really kind of got up early. And it never really felt like Arkansas threatened. And now Kentucky alone in first place in the Southeastern Conference. And there's only six games left in a regular season. And as Dave Van Horn said this morning, the two teams in the SEC you probably don't want to play right now are Mississippi State, Texas A&M. We've got to play them both. And that's the thing you start looking at. And Bob Holt, longtime Arkansas reporter, made the comment too to Van Horn. He's like, Dave, these guys come in here and sweep you. They're playing for first. These guys are right on your tail. And Van Horn says, and I'm sure A&M feels the same way. And those two are going to play each other next week. And that's why you start thinking, you know, hey, down the stretch, who's got the more favorable schedule? Well, clearly it's Mississippi State. You get to Arkansas, you play Missouri. Now, one could argue, too, A&M's got a pretty favorable weekend this weekend. They're going to play Ole Miss without Ethan Leger, who's going to be out again. And, again, wish him the best and hope he gets better. But, you know, he took that ball off the thumb in the Governor's Cup and didn't play last weekend. Not expect to play this weekend. And you hate it. You hate it for the kid. You do. But that's going to be a tough draw for sure. And you say, well, last weekend, you know, Ole Miss found a way to win that series at Auburn without Leger. Auburn's not Texas A&M. But of the three contenders in the SEC West, and I'm, you know, a little bit hesitant to call us a contender because, you know, we're three games back, first place. But Arkansas easily has the more difficult path. They have to play the number three team in the West and the number two team in the West. And then A&M Mississippi State have a chance to play two teams that are struggling to get to Hoover. Different dynamic entirely. Let's look inside the numbers here a little bit too. And these numbers for Hagan Smith, let me just tell you, let me go ahead and give you a parental advisory here. Yeah, a parental advisory here. These numbers are not for the faint at heart. Hagan Smith has been that dude. And Van Horn said the day on the media Zoom, he said, you know, they asked him, hey, did you see this coming? He goes, absolutely. Absolutely, we did. You know, they got him back and kind of ramped him back up. You know, Higgins had got to. He's been injured early in his career. He was always very talented. And you don't see 96, 97 from the left side very often, especially with the variety of pitches he has. But he said, yeah, we kind of saw it. He said that they saw him in the fall, and they ended up shutting him down in the fall. And he was I think he struck out the side on 12 pitches. They were going to throw him again, and all the scouts were going to come see. And Van Horn said, let's just shut him down. And Hagen was upset about it. He goes, hey, what are you pitching for? You're pitching for the season, right? Let's save yourself for the season. That's what they did, and it's been great. So we're going to start with pitching because that's where the story starts with Arkansas. Hagen Smith, 9-0 record with a 1.36 ERA, 12 starts. So he's had three non-decisions. 66 innings pitched. So you can kind of do the math on that. He's coming out in the fifth or sixth in most games. 29 hits on the year, which is absolutely ridiculous. 11 runs, 10 of them earned. 25 walks to 125 punchouts. 5-1. He's allowed just three doubles and four home runs. Opponents are hitting .132. You see a bunch of guys that are right around 200. You don't see a bunch of guys that are right around 100. You don't see it. He has had five hit-by-pitches, but he hasn't had a blow-up game, which says a lot about him. And if you want to see a great pitcher, and he's not Paul Skenes, don't get me wrong, but if you want to see the best pitcher in the Southeastern Conference so far, then you need to watch the ball game tomorrow night. Hagen Smith is really good. Now, Saturday will be Brady Tigard, a Mississippi native, a kid that grew up a Razorback. And I think it's a great thing when young men get a chance to wear the uniform they've grown up cheering for. I really do. Brady, he was a reliever for them for a while. They tried to kind of make him Kevin Copps, and then it didn't quite work out. He had some injuries last year, worked his way back. But 4-2 record, 3.34 ERA. And again, he's had 12 starts, six no decisions, and another guy that's not really working deep in ball games. So 56.2 innings pitched. You can kind of do the math yourself, but it works out to less than five innings an outing. The numbers against him, a little more normal, right? 42 hits, 21 runs, all of them earned, 30 walks, and 66 strikeouts. And I think some of that, too, is, you know, Brady's a guy that works timing a lot, keeps people off balance. But 2-1, it's not what it was 2 years ago when, you know, he has a little bit of an unorthodox delivery. I think some people have gotten a film on him. It's just been a different deal. But very, very, very good competitor. He's allowed 11 extra base hits this year, seven of them doubles, four of them home runs. And he's .213, which is the highest average for opponents against an Arkansas starter. Now, he has had the tendency to get wild, as the walk numbers would indicate. But here's another, you know, hint and a half for you. Five wild pitches, which leads the staff, and a mind-boggling 14 hit-by-pitches. You know, Gerangelo's in that same number, too, but Gerangelo's a guy, too. It's also 7-1. He's also had a balk. Mason Molina, you remember that name? Mason Molina was the guy that we chased out of Texas Tech. He was their ace, and it was kind of like a Paul Skenes situation without the same level of talent. What I mean by that is, Mason Molina picked Arkansas because they were closer to winning a championship. Mississippi State did a great job with him. He talked good with Mississippi State. It really boiled down to those two schools. But Arkansas was really just a couple of pieces away from making a run at Omaha, and that's why he picked Arkansas. It's a great program, right? And if you're picking between Arkansas and Mississippi State, you don't have a personal allegiance, you're going to pick the team that's got the best chance to win a championship. It's true. It's true. Not to mention, it's like Lamonos has had back-to-back last place years in the West. It's like, I may go over there, even though I'm a one-year guy, I don't want to go play on a bad team, you know, and have to listen to all the coaching change talk all year long. I want to go chance to enjoy my last year of college baseball and hopefully impress the scouts. It hadn't been quite as impressive, though. 11 starts for him. I told you he did miss one start due to an ankle injury, but 3-2 on the year. So you get six no decisions. These guys are not working deep in ball games. 49.2 innings pitched for him. You can kind of do the math again. It's right around five innings. He's allowed 32 hits, 21 runs, all of them earned, 31 walks, 71 strikeouts. So again, he's right there 2-1. Not a ton of swing and miss once you get through Smith. And he's allowed 4 doubles and 8 tags and 8 home runs is the most on the team. Batting average against just 187. But he's another guy, too. He'll hit you. He will. And so I think the main thing with these starters, again, Hagen Smith, you got to have a good game plan, too. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that goes up there and says, you know what, let's just not get anybody hurt tonight. I mean, you got to go out there and have a game plan. I don't care if it's bunt. I don't care if it's hit and run. I don't care if it's stolen base. You got to do some things to make him uncomfortable. If you just sit there and let him play pitch and catch all day, he will run you out of the ball yard. He is that talented. And I think one of the things you have to do when you got a guy like him that is pretty much an alien, because you just don't see a four-pitch mix very often, and not just the fact that he has high-level velo from the left and the fact that he's got a wipeout slider that tunnels through the same arm slot, he's a guy that can throw a change. He can also drop a breaker on you. And so you can't ever get too comfortable, but you have to take something away. You have to take something away. You got to go up there with the mindset. It's like, if I see this slider, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not swinging at that. And the next time through the order, he may start throwing that in his own, and then you can sit on that. But you got to have an approach. You can't just forfeit this game and say, whatever. And talking to Lemonis earlier this week, Dogs Talk, it was one of those things, too, that you kind of get a sense. It's like you just want to be in the game when he leaves in the fifth or sixth. You want to be able to kind of put an inning together and get in that bullpen that has been very good, too. But they don't have a Kevin Copps by any stretch of the imagination. But they do have some depth out there. They have some guys can go out there and fill up a zone for you. But you start looking through this thing. I mean, Kristen Fauch is a guy that's been really good. Gage Wood has been really good for him. Colin Fisher has been really good. And so Fisher's also a guy that's and let me recant that, because Fisher's done. He had surgery, so he's finished. But they've had a couple of guys that have had surgery that were not expected to pitch against us. Fisher had been the midweek guy. My apologies. But there are some guys out there that are interesting. They don't have that just true shutdown guy. But Gabe Gackle is a guy that he and Stone Hewlett both are guys that will see 36 appearances between them, and they've collectively had 10 saves. You can throw in Cody Frank, too, also has had 4 saves and 19 appearances. And so they got some guys out there. But as a staff, it's 3.36 as an ERA. But, again, some of that is built on the dominance of Hagen Smith this year. I think it's a good SEC staff. I don't think it's a staff that's lived up to expectations. Beginning of the year, when I picked Arkansas to win the SEC and potentially win the National Championship, I really expected this pitching staff to perform much better. You can say, but Steve, you look up, they've won 40 ball games, and that's true. But the games from here on out are going to be a lot more competitive. It's just kind of how it is. And you're going to have somebody that really emerges as a dominant second starter, and so far they just haven't been able to do that. If you find a way to win that game Friday night, I mean, goodness gracious, does that change some things? Because, again, I think State will take a game here, and maybe you can get 2. I'm not calling for that, but maybe you can. All right, look at hit numbers here. Peyton Stahlvall, he's been really good for them, but there has not been that circle guy in the lineup. There hadn't been that guy you look at and say, you know what, we got to avoid this guy at all cost. But Peyton Stahlvall is the guy you got to pay special attention to. Hitting 362, leads a team with 55 hits. He has 10 doubles. Also has 8 home runs, which is second on the team. Not a lot of walks, but he hadn't needed them, right? Because more importantly, there's not a ton of strikeouts. 31, which is a little bit above the team average. But this is a guy that's smashing. He is. Peyton Holt, a guy that really kind of caught fire last year against Mississippi State, as Dave Bainhorn reminded us this morning, is hitting 312. Got 3 tanks, 15 ribbies. That's another thing. You look up and down this lineup here, there's not a lot of run producers, per se. Ben McLaughlin has been really good for them, too, hitting 305. He's got 32 ribbies. Wahiva Aloy has probably been the one guy you look at and say, you know what, you want him hitting with the bases empty. He's got 11 tanks and 49 RBI. Guys, we got 2 guys doing better than that. And the point that I'm making from that is not in any way to diminish him. This is not a lineup that is going to win a track meet. They are very much relying on pitching and defense, and Mississippi State and Arkansas right now tied for third in the country. and fielding percentage. So we're pitching it, and actually maybe as a staff pitching it a little bit better, and certainly as an offense we're hitting the baseball better than they are. Now, that's not to say Hagan Smith may not go out there tomorrow and strike out 17, but you just got to stay in the ballgame. You just got to hang in there and go. They don't run a lot. They're 38 of 47. But they're very opportunistic in what they do. And when we get the opportunity to pick, we got to pick. You know, Parker says we really just kind of want to use that as a deterrent. You know, Alabama doesn't run at all. Arkansas runs a little bit. But it's not like one guy. It's like dominating. It's kind of by committee here. And it's Aloy leading the pack at 7 for 7. And Peyton Holt, 6 of 7. That's always very interesting. You know, it truly is. But, yeah, I think from a catching standpoint, they're going to be good. Maybe not great. They're going to be a team, obviously, that comes to compete. They understand what's at stake here. They're trying to, you know, make some things happen to be a top eight national seed. They're certainly projected there now. But if you lose this series to Mississippi State and then you lose the series to Texas A&M, you're not going to be a top eight national seed if you're Arkansas. You're not. You'll be a really strong host, but you won't be a top eight. They would drop out if they lose the next two series, unless somehow they, you know, win the SEC tournament and maybe play their way back in as an eight. I just don't see it happen. I think in many respects the SEC tournament is pretty much irrelevant when you're at that level. I think either you are or you're not a top eight national seed, as we know from experience. But what's interesting, too, just kind of looking at some SEC numbers here, you know, Hagan Smith's actually been better in conference play than in non-conference. ERA of 1.10, batting average is up all of 8 points to 140. Mason Molina is 1-2 and 3.94 ERA. Brady Tigard is 1-2 with a 4.66 ERA. Much different dynamic against SEC, and you'd expect that for everybody. It's not breaking news there. But when you look at these hitting numbers, and that's interesting, too. Like, you know, if Diggs doesn't play tomorrow, what do they do? I mean, does Holt play center? Then who plays left? Does Ty Wilmsmeyer get in there? That's a real question, too. You know, but you look at SEC play, Wilmsmeyer's hitting .158. And when I asked about him, Dave Van Horn said on Monday, well, you got to hit, right? Kendall Diggs, a guy that, again, it seems like he's been there forever. He's an excellent player. He's hitting .208 in SEC play. As a team, they're just hitting .240. And again, it's Peyton Stovall kind of carrying the mail for him. Hudson White hitting .303. But just about everybody else is down a little bit. You know, Aloy, a guy that leads them in home runs, 6 of those have come in SEC play, but just 16 RBI. That's not right. Yes, it is right. Yeah, 16 RBI in SEC play. So Kendall Diggs had 18 RBI, and he may not play. And so you begin to think about the dynamics of this weekend, because we talk about that all the time. You never know what shape your team is going to be in by the time you get there and what shape they're going to be in by the time you get there. You never truly know. And so, like, who knew that Alabama was going to get food poisoning last weekend? Now, all of a sudden, you show up here, and Arkansas is questioning their third starter and the fact that one of their most veteran outfielders, not even sure if he's going to play tomorrow. You never know. You play the series when you have the chance to play the series. Right, you can't play it preseason. We all pick it. So it's going to be a tough weekend for us. But based on what we've seen from Mississippi State as of late and what you've seen from Arkansas as of late, the series seems to be a lot more even. So I'm going to pick it because I'm no dummy. I'm not going to pick State to win at Arkansas. I think State takes a game and then we lose two. But I will not be surprised in the least if we're back here on Monday talking about State winning that series, and I don't think it's the shock that some people are suggesting that it is. I think once you get inside the numbers, obviously, in the best 2 out of 3 series, you know, they probably feel the best about, hey, we definitely going to get one game. But the thing that I think about with Cal Steven, if Cal can keep you in that game, let's say Cal can give you 7, and let's say that Hagan gives them 5 or 6, if you can work that much longer, and you be in the ball game, you know, let's say you're down 2-1 or you're tied at 2-2 or whatever, I think you get the emotional lift as a team if Cal's able to hang in there a little bit longer. And you see we've been able to extend him at times. And this is a guy trying to make some money, too. Spoke to Cal briefly on my way to the complex earlier this week, and I can tell you he wants the baseball. So I won't be the least bit surprised if we look up there when Hagen Smith leaves the game, if it's not a close ball game. Certainly hope so. You know, we don't need a first inning at Fayetteville like we had at Nashville and in getting that crowd into it. We don't. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for Dave Van Horn and Arkansas baseball. I love going up there, but I hate losing up there. I really do. We've won some big ball games up there, but as of late, we've lost a lot of ball games. We hadn't won a series against those guys since 18. When Gary Henderson, right? Lamontas' record against Arkansas has been abysmal. As great as it's been against Alabama, it's been equally bad against Arkansas. So I'm going to pick Mississippi State to win a game here and stay in the hosting conversation. But if State gets two this weekend, I think it is a foregone conclusion that Mississippi State will be an NCAA regional host. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair is an absolute prince of a guy. Guy's been doing this 23 years. You could entrust your mortgage into the hands of a lot of people. You could. But why would you want to look anywhere other than Close with Blair? Let me give you Blair's number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Licensed to lend in multiple states. So if you're looking for a game day condo, if you're looking for your first home, maybe you've got a life reset going on. You're like, Steve, I don't know what to do. I got a lot going on. Let Blair take care of that for you. You know, the process can be convoluted. It really can be. It's like they want a note from your mom, a pint of blood, you know, lock your kid's first hair. Underwriters can be a little bit prickly, shall we say. You need to get somebody that's going to be your advocate to help get you to the closing table, and that's Blair Chandler. And he'll get you in a good deal, the best deal possible. Again, that's closetoblair.com. All right, Mother's Day. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. And some of you are mothers of children that me aren't your own. And I'm here to tell you that I'm a big advocate for step parents. I had a stepmom, still have her. You know, my dad's passed away. She is my Mama D, and she has loved me like one of her own children. And so many of you, maybe we're not gifted the opportunity or the blessing to have children of your own, but you have been the mothers to others, whether it be in your church, your neighborhood, maybe your nieces, your nephews. You know, I don't know your situation. But thank you to the moms out there and the step-up moms that step up to kind of keep things running right when maybe mom's not in the picture. Yeah, so God bless you, and I love you. So here are my top 10 Mother's Day songs. And again, these are going to be Boneyard songs. And so there's not going to be a bunch of, I don't know, maybe not so many heartwarming songs. So here we go. Number 10, one of my favorite bands. I know these guys. I love these guys. From Jeff City, Missouri. It's Shaman's Harvest. Great track here about Mama. And you know, it's basically about, you know, Mama, hey, take care of me. I got things going on, Mama. I need this, Mama. The world is kind of coming down on me. And it's a little bit different than the rest of the catalog. And this is from the album Rebelator. And that'll be the song. I'll have a song of the show on the Dude Effect. So if you haven't watched that yet, go back and watch that. I'm also going to have a Shaman song from Rebelator. And I'll tell you guys this. If you are not a Shaman's fan, it's because you haven't listened. I mean, truly, Smoking Hearts and Broken Guns, one of the best albums of the last 10 years in my estimation. Every song is a hit. Love that album so much, and I've loved this band for a long time, and had a chance to meet them. I've hung out with them multiple times, and every chance I get a chance to go hang with them, I take advantage of that. And but Mama, a great track, maybe kind of a deeper cut off the Rebelator album. All right, number 9, another song, and this is one of those things, too, that is kind of left up for interpretation. It's a little bit of a whiny song, to be honest with you. It's John Lennon's Mother, and some would say it's about Yoko Ono, and maybe it is, but it could be for whatever you want it to be. John Lennon, of course, probably the most famous of the Beatles, even though I like the Paul McCartney-written songs a little bit better. Number eight, another Mother song, and it's Pink Floyd. Not a huge Pink Floyd fan, but this, of course, is From the Wall, which I think is probably a concept album that everybody needs to see and hear. Years ago, you know, back when we were all just so young and naive, and we thought we could convince everybody that what we were doing was proper, we would all go to the planetarium and maybe have some mood enhancers and watch The Wall on the planetarium screen. Kind of a surreal experience. That whole shaving thing still bothers me. Number seven, and I can't speak about this artist enough. And there are a lot of people out there that say, you know, Steve, I like a good female vocalist. And this is an artist that from the very beginning, I absolutely loved. Absolutely loved everything about her, her style, her vocal delivery, her sense of irreverence. And listen, she was not one of the Lilith people, Lilith Fair. She is maybe a little more of a Hellraiser than that. And I dig her, man. I did back then. The great album, The Burdens of Being Upright. We're talking Tracy Bonham. She was actually nominated for a Grammy for this song. It's Mother, Mother. She is a native of Eugene, Oregon. And learned to play herself. A couple years older than us, most of us. But this song basically is like, you know, when she started her music career and kind of moved on for herself. And it's like, you know, I'm calling mom. Let you know I'm not okay. I'm okay. You know, you can just not have to worry about me. But it's pretty impressive, too. And what's interesting, and I just looked at this, the Billboard Alternative Airplay chart in June of 96, Mother Mother was number one. That was the last female number one until Lorde took it in 2013. That's how long it's been, 17 years. Pretty impressive. Absolutely, absolutely impressive. The second album down here, a bit of a disappointment, and that's kind of how life is, right? You have your whole life to write your first album and about 6 months to write your second one. So not the same level of success, but she married a regular dude and, you know, still gets out and performs a little bit. But if you have the opportunity, and you do, go back and listen to that album, The Burdens of Being Upright from Tracy Bonham, but specifically Mother Mother. Great, great song. Now, another band that many of you like with a very, very, very successful top 10 list for this band. A lot of you reached out to me and say, hey, Steve, thanks for doing My Chemical Romance. Yeah, welcome to the Black Parade. An incredible album. It's a concept album. Our protagonist goes through a lot of very challenging things, including the cancer aspect of things. But a great track called Mama on here. And it starts out, it's kind of silly. You know, it's kind of got this little European accordion beat to it. And then they kind of kick in and rock it out. And so be sure and check that one out too, Mama from My Chemical Romance. Number five, going back more years. This is one of those albums that the very first time I heard it, it was absolutely one of those things that blew me away because of Nuno Bencourt's guitar play. Gary Cherone's a great singer. Many of you first got exposed to the band Extreme during the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is an American classic. There's a great track on there besides Do You Want to Play, which the guitar on that is just absolutely phenomenal. But it's Mother. I don't want to go to school today. I think I'd rather go outside and play. And of course, that's the thing. A lot of those albums back then were written with us in mind. And so there's like kids singing the chorus and stuff. But Mother, don't want to go to school today. That's your number five track. Number four, and we would be remiss if we didn't have this Mother song on here. Many of you know this one, and some of you don't know who performed it. And the cool ones, if you do. It's Glenn Danzig's Mother. Do You Want to Bang Heads with Me? Number four on your list. You've seen it probably on these reels and things like that. You've heard it at ball games. It is one of those in-your-face rock and roll songs. It's one of those songs, you talk about having real attitude. And of course, the Misfits were a legendary band, and Glenn Danzig kind of, you know, evolved from that, became a solo artist, and in some respects kind of ripped off the rest of the band. But Mother, probably the standalone song from Glenn Danzig you look at and say, you know what, Dad, that's a good one. Number three, While the title, Mama's in a title of this, the song is really about LL Cool J's grandmother. And this came out, obviously, when years ago. But it is synonymous with competition. It's the great song, Mama Said Knock You Out. Don't call it a comeback. Been here for years. LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out. What an amazing song. And the grandmother told him, knock him out, baby. You go knock him out. And he was recording kind of a follow-up album. One of my favorite LL Cool J albums is Walking Like a Panther, because I'm that type of guy. Number two, we couldn't get out of here without having some country, and this is maybe one of those classic songs that so many people know and endear to. It's Mama Tried from Merle Haggard. We had to get him in here. We did. That's number two on your list, Mama Tried. A tattoo artist friend of mine said he was going to get that on his neck, Mama Tried. It's true. That's a case for me, too. I could promise you, nobody in the world probably, I think she's kind of given up now. But, you know, every time I got a tattoo, I had to hear about it, you know, from a mom. And I told this story earlier when I wrote When the Bottom Falls. I said, Mom, I don't want you to read the book. Oh, baby, you know, I got to read it. Mom, I don't want you to read the book because I got to write about some things that are going to make you uncomfortable. And I'm not that same person anymore, but I got to write about this to establish some credibility with my readers. And the still suffering addict needs to have, you know, the fact that I've got some content that kind of lets them know that I'm one of them. I got to establish credibility with them too. So I got to write about some things that are going to make you uncomfortable. So of course she reads a book. Chapter one, all of a sudden I get a text. Well, I never knew you felt this way. Well, Mom, I'm sorry. I don't feel that way anymore. I'm not that person anymore. However, I did encourage you not to read the book. Next day, chapter two. Well, you wrote, I wish you wouldn't have put this in here. Mom, again, I didn't write this for you. I wrote this for other people. Chapter three comes along. Again, I wish you wouldn't have put that in there. Mom, I mean, come on. This is what I was trying to avoid. I said, but you'll be happy to know by the end of the book, you're a hero in the story, and you're a hero in my life. And I've shared with you guys before, when I was at Family Week at Pine Grove, you know, I had a dad, stepmom, four sisters, a brother, stepdad, of course, my mom, and my mom was the only one that came. And I remember writing about that on Facebook, and I was like, on a Mother's Day post, and I said, when I was at the lowest in my life, my mom is the only person that came for me. And she says, I will stand for you if I am the only one standing. And everybody deserves to have a mom like that. Fortunately, I do. And eventually, she finished the book, and there were so many great things that were written, and she was good. And then she went out and bought books for everybody. So thanks, Mom. Number one, I don't know how we could do a Mother's Day song without this one. It's great. It's Tupac's Dear Mama. And you talk about, I was a Tupac fan from the beginning. I remember like when he was with the Digital Underground, we began to kind of get some bootleg stuff of his initial solo stuff that kind of leaked out. And you're like, well, this is pretty good here. Tupacalypse Now is great. All Eyes on Me. There's some other ones out there I can't repeat. But I've been a Tupac fan from the beginning. I still think Tupac sets a standard that is difficult for other people to aspire to. One of the most amazing lyricists of our time. And it's Dear Mama. And the part, too, about, you know, performing miracles every Thanksgiving. You know, it's like every mom wants everybody home and everybody have a special occasion. But I think it showed the softer side of Pac. And I hope that he eventually gets justice. I know there's been an arrest in that case. And the guy that's the defendant in that trial wrote a book about it, basically. Like there's a statute of limitations on murder. You know, craziness. But I would understand, that's your top 10 list today. So again, moms out there, I love you, your children love you, and we don't say it enough. We don't. Sometimes we treat you like the maid or the chauffeur or the ATM. We don't always say that we love you. And we get this one weekend a year, and it kind of reminds us of all the things mama does for us. It's true. But if nobody else says it to you, I love you. And for the you moms out there that are maybe estranged from your children, just keep loving and do what you can. You know, it's a tough weekend for a lot of people. It truly is. Truly is. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter. I'm still calling it Twitter. You can call it X. At Dogmatic67. Dawgmatic67. IC67. You can find our great list on Spotify, that same handle. Just follow along. Those lists will pop up. A lot of people have said, you know what, Steve, I enjoy the list when I travel. It saves me a lot of guesswork and trying to find out what to listen to. Maybe that could be you. And you never know, it may turn you onto something you really dig, man. Like, what's amazing to me is I go back and think about Lizzie Hale. Like, when we first did Hellstorm, I was very, very well versed in the Hellstorm catalog. I have every album from Hellstorm. It's true. I guess I've got a physical copy of every CD from Hellstorm other than the latest one. But when I first talked about it on the show, I don't know that we've ever had the response that we had for her. And then people started to hit me up. Where have I been, Steve? She's incredible. She is. And so I love that aspect of it. I love it guys turn you on to something, maybe reminds you of some old favorites out there, and maybe some new favorites are coming your way. But as always, thanks for your support at the Top 10 List. You can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. How about that? A Starkvillian institution. You know them well. If you don't, you should. Campus Bookmart been serving this great fan base for a long, long time. It's incredible. Miss Kathy Brown does such a great job outfitting that place to enable you to update your wardrobe, deck out your fan cave, get some Mississippi State merchandise in your office. It's graduation time, as we mentioned here as of late. Diploma frames, a great selection of diploma frames. I'd encourage you, if you're the grandparents or perhaps the favorite aunt or uncle, look into that. Let mom and dad know, hey, I got that diploma frame covered. You guys got so much going on. Let me take care of this. That's pretty impressive, right? You can be the gift giver of a gift that they will keep forever, and it will adorn their wall, and you'll be glad and proud that you were a part of that. Absolutely, without question. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet, at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over 75 bones. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a quick look around the league. As we record the show, I told you guys we're recording Thursday night. Georgia appears to be well on their way to an opening victory over South Carolina in a series that we are we need Georgia to win. We're pulling for Georgia because we have two wins over Georgia. The better they do, the better we do. It pulls our RPI along. South Carolina, of course, a team that's in the contention with us to have an opportunity to host. And so in the event the season breaks down like we think, we should be in a tie with Georgia for fifth place. And, of course, State, we get the tiebreaker, and you get the benefit of all those RPI points. It's always great. And so that's where we are. So, yes, we're pulling hard for the Bulldogs, but we don't want them to sweep. We just want them to split. Because us, Georgia, South Carolina, all kind of similarly situated there. So let's take a look at the rest of the schedule this weekend. And, yeah, it's 12-7 now. Georgia, I guess we said well on their way. I was recording the Dude Effect earlier, and so I missed that bottom of six. South Carolina puts up three in the bottom of six to make it a game again. But it's 12-7. It was 12-4. But we feel like Georgia should be okay here. And Charlie Condon now, the home run king of Georgia with 34 home runs. So let's look ahead to Friday's action. Only one series begins tonight. That's Georgia, South Carolina. But that's where it sits. But Kentucky and Florida, you know, I like Kentucky here, even though it's on the road in Gainesville. I like Kentucky in a split. I think Florida will get one. I like Kentucky to take two. And again, you look at, and we talk about, you know, our RPI and all this kind of stuff. And everybody says, well, you know, we need to get in the top 16. And I'm going to reiterate that. That's just not the case because of the fact that there are some teams ahead of us in the college baseball RPI that have no chance to host. And Florida is one of them. Let's just kind of get a peek here at Warren Nolan's RPI. So Florida is, where are they? They've dropped a little bit here as of late. Yeah, they're 23 right now, so they're behind the Bulldogs. I just don't think that they're going to have enough juice, right? I just don't. You know, I think that they're, it's taken forever, but they're 10-14 in the conference and 25-23 overall. They have the number one strength of schedule in the country. I'm just saying, you know, but a couple of weeks ago, people were still projecting them to host. There's just no chance. I mean, that schedule is just brutal. It really is. Kentucky, of course, we don't play them. They're number two in RPI. All right, let's look at some other ones here. I got a lot of tabs open. I really do. When I'm writing, guys, when I'm writing like a chapter in a book, and I'm working on chapter 18 right now, I'll peck a little more at it this before I go to bed tonight. But I have a bunch of tabs open because you got to do a lot of research when you do all this stuff. You just do. You just do. If I can find this. Here we go. Where are we? I'm sorry. I'm unprepared. All right. So let's get to it anyway. So it's always crazy here. But so getting to Friday's games, which is always important, I think, again, Kentucky takes that series 2-1, I think. Again, I think Georgia takes a series to South Carolina 2-1, and I don't think you can get a sweep there. But, you know, flipping over to the RPI, Georgia's 5 in the RPI. South Carolina is 14 in the RPI. So Georgia could help us flip-flop with South Carolina. That's the significance of that. It truly is. All right, so let's get back to, I think I've got it figured out now. I think, yes. LSU's at Alabama. And you start thinking, what's our rooting interest here? I think LSU's getting it together. But Alabama is still right there at 13 in the RPI. And a lot of that's because strength of schedule is 4. But let's be honest, Alabama's not going to host. They're 10-14. They're going to have a losing record in the conference. They're not going to host. So that's two SEC teams that if somehow State can win this series, I'm not expecting that. But that's two teams I think we could see fall behind us in the days ahead. Let's see if we can't find LSU. LSU's RPI is 35. So the better they do, the better we do. And, of course, we own a couple wins over Alabama, too. You know, so it's kind of a Mox-Nix point in that respect. But right now you've got a team outside the top 30 that could pull into the top 30, which would benefit Mississippi State as well. Auburn is at Missouri. And, of course, we have 3 wins over Auburn. And we will play Missouri soon. The Auburn RPI was ahead of ours when we played them. They're down to 45 now. And so, again, you know, you want them to stay in the top 50. We'd like to see, you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's not going to boil down to what Auburn does. It helps us. But this Missouri team, not great. Their RPI is 95, right? And so I think at the end of the day, that's just kind of playing out the string really for both teams. Auburn not officially eliminated yet, but with the next loss, they will be. Tennessee's at Vanderbilt. We don't play Tennessee. We'd really like to see Vanderbilt win this series. I just don't expect it. Vanderbilt is absolutely in free fall. Absolutely. I mean, they're struggling to win midweek games. Of course, State takes a series. They get swept by Georgia. The good thing is they get to host this game at home, but we really need Vanderbilt to take a game. We'd love for them to get 2. I just don't think that's the case. I don't think there's enough offensive firepower in this Vandy lineup. And the pitching, since J.D. Thompson's ejection, the Vanderbilt pitching has not been ideal except for, Bryce Cunningham had a really good game against us. Texas A&M's at Ole Miss. Of course, you're rooting for A&M here. You know, I mean, if A&M could bulldoze a stadium on their way out of town, that'd be fine with me too. But A&M, of course, number one in the RPI. We own 1 win over them. We have 2 over Ole Miss, but it's just one of those things, too. They have really fallen on hard times here as of late. But, you can't get better, number one. Georgia, still swinging here. Ole Miss's RPI is 28. So even though they're having a bad year, their strength of schedule is number 2. And that's why they've been able to kind of maintain a decent RPI, despite the fact that they're just hovering around 500. But, I think, number one, you know you're rooting interest here. But, picking your winners, I think it's an easy pick this weekend. I think it's Kentucky. I think it's Georgia. And I'm going to go with LSU. I think it's Auburn on the road in Missouri. Even though Missouri's been good at home. I don't know. Maybe that helps. And Tennessee over Vandy. Arkansas over Mississippi State. That pains me to say that. And then Texas A&M over Ole Miss. Those are your winners as I see it. And with that, again, we need a big, big, big weekend from the Bulldogs at Bomb Walker Stadium. There's no question about that. We take care of business, and the RPI kind of takes care of itself. And that was one thing we talked about on the Dude Effect, is everybody's stressed about the non-conference schedule. You know, the bottom line is this, is the non-conference schedule actually proved to be a little bit better than it looked at first blush. We drive some games we shouldn't. But here we are 2 weeks ago in the season with an RPI in the teens. Right? And so, again, you start doing some subtraction there. And State's really right there around 17. But it doesn't matter where we are today. It's going to matter where we are on you know, the day before selection are announced. And, of course, they will announce the regional sites before they do the full field. At least that's how they've done it the last several years. So we'll know before we know everything else. So we'll know if we're hosting. But I think there's a good chance that we Bulldog fans that follow baseball so closely this year will know even before they make the selections if we're hosting or not, because we'll know if we've done enough work. Because we are a bubble hosting team. We're not a bubble tournament team. But again, our RPI will also increase just by playing Arkansas by virtue of the strength of schedule getting better. But again, this is not an invincible Arkansas team. This is not Arkansas of 2021. They just don't have that same offense. If we go out there and pitch it well, we got a chance to take it. Again, I don't know what TBD is going to look like on Sunday, but I think Cal Stephen will keep us in the game and give us a chance. And certainly like Gerangelo's opportunities there on Saturday. And one of the things, too, it's kind of interesting to note, too, when you, you know, kind of look at, number one, Arkansas is an offensive ballpark, and they get to play a lot of their games there. But guys, we got two night games out there. So it's going to be a little bit cooler at night. Not going to be cold. It's going to be cooler at night. Ball typically doesn't travel as well there at night. So maybe that's a factor you consider too. Because in many respects, they do have some launch angle offense, even though they hadn't had the power to go along with it this year. So you take away the home run, make them string together two or three hits an inning. You don't walk people. You got a really good chance to win. But I'm not picking us to win. I do think we'll take one. But I won't be surprised if we win the series. If we win on Friday, I think we're definitely going to win the series. But, you know, we've been in a situation before, and it's so difficult to win on the road. But we got a little maroon magic in Nashville, and I think we broke them. But when you start thinking about top eight national seeds, and I mentioned this earlier, Arkansas's path is pretty arduous. You got to play a red-hot Mississippi State team. Granted, it's at home, but then you get A&M. And so you could see those guys going 3-3. Down the stretch. Is that enough to maintain a top eight national seed? Will probably depend on the rest of the traffic. However, if they lose these last two series, they're not going to be a top eight national seed. I think that's it. Despite the fact they've been so dominant at home, I think you drop three consecutive series to close out the regular season, you're not going to host. I mean, you're going to host, but you're not going to be a top eight national seed. I think that is something the committee will have to consider. We always talk about the full body of work. But when you see this team down the stretch here, it appears some things are kind of unraveling a little bit. And the eye test in and of itself matters. And certainly if you pick a top eight national seed, you want them trending in the right direction. Forget the conference tournament, okay? The conference tournament for a top eight national seed is irrelevant. But if you drop three consecutive league series, that is something that I believe the committee will consider. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, because Google is our friend, kids. At least it was before it became a corporate sellout, but nevertheless, it'll serve your purposes here. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page will come up, and you can peruse the fine amenities that are available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Five bedrooms, two baths. It's the renovated golf course clubhouse. Just 5 minutes from the Mississippi State campus, conveniently located to all the cool stuff, but also kind of neatly tucked away so you got a little privacy. Some friends of mine used it for a I guess, a week-long type deal. You know, they said everybody there so they could stock the kitchen, they could cook, they could use that wet bar, they could sit out there on that beautiful back porch area, watch the sunset, they could get around the fire pit and just kind of just have a good time. That could be you. It could be. It's very easy to do. When you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options will come up, VRBO, Airbnb. But the Evolve website, if you use that one, I can save you a little coinage, right? 10% off your stay by using BSR10 as your promo code. You're saving money just by listening to the show. Great stuff, right? So whether you're bringing a work crew to town, maybe it's a staycation, maybe it's a guys' weekend, girls' weekend, a family weekend, when you come to see the Diamond Dogs play or the Mississippi State football team, basketball, whatever you enjoy. Or maybe you just say, you know what, we love Starkville so much and we're never here unless it's a ball game weekend. We just want to kind of get away. What better place to stay than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse? Have everybody under one roof instead of going out and getting five hotel rooms or five Airbnbs and everybody's just scattered all over the county. Everybody can be right there together. You could even play a whole weekend of Axis and Allies or Risk or whatever. You know, whatever. I don't know your needs. But you can knock them out. You can have a great time at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and Google that today and make your plans because ballgame weekends are going to book up quickly. Yeah, it's true. Happy to have the Stark Vegas Clubhouse with us as a sponsor. All right, the Mississippi State softball team stay in Auburn at the SEC tournament was a short one. We'll go back and look here. Kind of in hindsight, to get you up to speed, the festivities taking place at Jane B. Moore Field on the campus of Auburn. Ole Miss and Kentucky played in a loser-leaves-town matchup. Ole Miss actually wins that one, 7-2. And then loses to Missouri. And so Missouri will now play number 4 seed Arkansas. LSU and Alabama, that was a 10 a.m. game, and that kind of got everybody off schedule. We had a little weather like yesterday, too, but that was a 14-inning game, 3-2, LSU wins it. Pretty incredible game. And again, that kind of got us off because that was a 10 a.m. game, so everything kind of pushed late behind that. Georgia and Auburn also went 14 innings. And Georgia, 6-5 winners in 14 to knock out the host team, Auburn. And then so Mississippi State's game didn't begin until around 10:20 last night. Many of you stayed up, and South Carolina jumped on Mississippi State early. And it got late early for a lot of fans. Like, I'm not going to sit up and watch this. South Carolina wins 8-4. So the Bulldogs eliminated from the SEC tournament. And so working through all this today, Tennessee and LSU. That's a 5 p.m. game tonight. LSU wins that 2-1. So LSU advances to Friday unblemished. Arkansas and Missouri game is ongoing now. And then tomorrow, Florida and Georgia will play. And Texas A&M and South Carolina will play. So we're done. But we'll be in the NCAA tournament. We don't know where we're going to go. We probably could have played our way into a potential hosting opportunity, but that's kind of how things stand today. We'd like to have had a better showing. Of course, State played it pretty well against South Carolina earlier this year, but just couldn't get it going. Aspen Wesley, the reigning SEC pitcher of the week, just didn't have it, and it happens to all of us. But now we just kind of wait and see where we're going to be, who we're going to play, and I don't know that anybody really wants to see us. I really don't, because on any given day, we can play with anybody. We've proven that this year. Great year for Coach Samantha Ricketts, and a lot of people felt like, you know what, maybe Coach Ricketts was, coaching for a job this year, and they turned it around. And it'll be interesting to see, too, you know, with Auburn needing to hire a coach if they don't chase Samantha Ricketts. You know, she was promoted from within when John Cohen was here. So does John take a swing at Samantha Ricketts? I don't know. I don't know, but it's something to consider. You know, we talked about that last year when it was time to start thinking about, do we make a coaching change on the football side of things? And early on, a lot of people close to the situation said, no, we're not going to make a coaching change. But it got to the point where we absolutely had to. Of course, getting blown out in College Station, Texas by a third-team quarterback will tend to do that. Kind of motivates people to get going. And that Tuesday before we went to College Station, I had somebody tell me, Arnett will not be back next year. I said, is there any chance we do it in season? And they said, well, you get blown out at A&M, anything's possible. Well, it was possible. But a lot of the reluctance early on, people were like, you know, we may be in a situation where we may have to make multiple coaching changes next year. And it's not just having to buy out a coach you fire, but it's buying out a coach you hire and their staff. And, of course, if somebody leaves of their own volition, they got to pay, you know, the buyout, and the school they go to has got to pay a buyout. So that mitigates some of your expense. But hey, you get through men's basketball season, and again, not the season we wanted, but certainly a season that we feel pretty positive about the trajectory of the program. You didn't win an NCAA tournament game, but certainly maybe Jans didn't do enough to get one of those blue blood type jobs. So he's back. Sam Purcell, of course, didn't make the tournament. And then Johnny Harris at Auburn, they had a big year. So Johnny saved her job probably for another year. And so Lemonis has righted the ship in baseball, as has Samantha Ricketts. And so you begin to think, hey, maybe we can navigate through this, you know, spring semester and into the summer without having to go out and conduct a coaching change. Wouldn't that be great? Right? And so that's something to consider here. We'd like Coach Ricketts to stay. Obviously, it's been much more good than bad with her. But probably in a situation that she's entitled to a raise, you know. And hopefully she gets it from us and not from Auburn. But that's certainly something to consider, right? I don't know that Auburn's even contacted her. But I know that how these things typically work. People tend to hire people they know when they can. And so that's something to think about, too. And Auburn, of course, you know, a proud softball program in many respects, and did not have the year they wanted. That's why they're the 10 seed in the tournament. So we'll watch that really closely as we get a little bit deeper into things. And as I told you guys, I'm working on chapter 18 in the book, and this will be around 24 chapters, I think, when it's all said and done. You never know how things break out. But, yeah, things are moving along. And so they're in the process now of putting things together for pre-sale orders for the book, The Dude. And so we expect that to be out late August, maybe early September. But those of you that want to go ahead and order, you're going to have the ability to do that. Now, once I know when that's going to go live, I'm going to tell you, because of the fact we're going to have a limited edition run that will sell out quickly. Now, we're going to print thousands of books. So if you just want to get a book, you're going to be able to get a book without any trouble. But if you want that limited edition, and I get all the details, I'll share it with you, but it's going to be a very much a keepsake book. It's going to have a different cover. It's going to be leather bound. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. So it's going to be a very special book, and we're only going to do, you know, a couple hundred, maybe 300 of these. You know, we'll see how it goes. And based on all the people that have reached out to me, a lot of people want that book. And so I will give you some advance notice, but there's not going to be thousands of these. So if you want to wait and delay and just get a book, you can do that. But if you want that limited edition book, you're going to have to act very, very quickly. And I can share with you, there has been some incredible anecdotal type stories that I've been able to find that really kind of show who Duty Noble was as a person and as a coach, a player, and an administrator. And I venture to say that there have not been many people in our history that have fought as hard as Duty Noble did for Mississippi State. I think that's important to understand. And you go back and you look in hindsight, you know, he won three league championships as a baseball coach. He was here and part of the administration when you hired Major Rapsassi that got us to our first true bowl game. You know, we went to the Bacardi Bowl, but that was kind of scheduled in advance. And Rapsassi, of course, had to resign, and then we kind of struggled a little bit, and we brought in Alan McKean. I've got a lot of Alan McKean stories, found some Alan McKean quotes and things like that, and Alan McKean restored us to a great program. And then you look at the fact that Duty Noble hired Babe McCarthy, and what a great job he did. And so when you look at some of the heyday of Mississippi State sports, a lot of it happened during the Duty Noble era, and many of you don't know a lot about that era. That was the point of writing this book. And in many respects, it is kind of a book of Mississippi State history through the Duty Noble era. Some pretty interesting stuff. You know, we talk about his life. I had a chance to interview several family members. And so I'm exceptionally proud of the work, and I think that you guys are going to enjoy it. As I mentioned earlier, you know, When the Bottom Falls, that book came out late last year. Still doing well. And if you haven't purchased that, you can at When the Bottom Falls. But I'm back in the sports genre with this one. And I suspect the next one will be a Mississippi State sporting book, kind of like Stark Villains and Alpha Dog. So if you love those, I've got another collection of stories like that on the way. We'll probably do that next year, probably. I don't want to commit to it yet because I like to take a little time off. But then what happens is then I get a little stir crazy and start thinking I need to write another book. So I've got some friends out there, some Mississippi State friends, say I always love it when I hear you writing a book because it makes Christmas shopping so much easier. And so again, this book will be out late summer, early fall. And I think it's going to be one of those things, too, that every Bulldog fan is going to want. And recently had an uptick in dog pile sales. How cool is that? I guess as Bulldog baseball's gotten better, people are like, hey, I want to go back and read that. So you can go to winnebottomfalls.com, and you can get all of my sports titles there. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, and Dog Pile. In addition to that, you can get Winnebottom Falls. And that's, again, not really a sports book. There is some sports stuff in there, but it's mainly a redemption story in many respects. It's my memoirs. And now that I've done that, you know, when I was first, before I even got the contract for Flim Flam, I wanted to write books. And I said, well, let me write about what I know first. So I was going to write about recovery. And I got the contract for Flim Flam. Had a literary agent contact me and said, hey, would you be interested in working with us on a book? And so we did. And now here we are now working on book number 7. And so, but yeah, that was something. I started that work on the recovery book really back in 2016. They had no clue what I was doing. And so finally got that done. And I feel like a big burden in many respects is lifted off my shoulders. Father's Day is coming up. You know, Mother's Day is around. So you can find my books in great bookstores around the great state of Mississippi. But you can order online and get signed copies too. You don't have to come to a book signing. But I do think The Dude is going to be something kind of like The Duty Noble book and Dogpile both. I think that every Bulldog fan probably wants those. It's a moment in time that has been incredibly important to our history. And I'll tell you, the research that I've done on this book has been extensive. But the thing that I've learned through all this about not just Duty Noble, but about how the people, the caretakers of Mississippi State sports, worked exceptionally hard to give us a great program. And it didn't always work out the way we intended. We had some encumbrances at times. We had people working against us at times. And many of you don't know those stories. And so I'm eager to share those with you. I'm eager to share what I've learned. And even that's not everything. You know, there's always some great stories out there that are buried and dead and gone that we'll never be able to fully recount. But this is an important book, not just for me, but I think for the Mississippi State family. And so we look forward to putting that up. But again, this month we do expect pre-orders. Matter of fact, they've asked me today to go ahead and write a synopsis so they can put it on the website in advance of the pre-orders. And of course, the more you pre-order, obviously, you know, the more they got to print. And so I think it's important to go ahead and get in line for this book, especially for that limited edition book. And that was something they came to me and say, hey, due to the special nature of this book and the passion that so many people have for Mississippi State, let's do a special edition. Let's do one, and it's going to be more expensive, obviously, but it's going to be one of those things that you know, you can buy and put on your coffee table, your bedside table, whatever, and it'll be something I think that you'll cherish forever. I have worked exceptionally hard on this, and my goal was to have the whole thing roughed out by the end of May, and we're certainly on path to do that. I really thought I'd be done before now because of the fact I didn't think the book was going to be as extensive as it's proven to be. A lot of research involved, and I keep finding great stories that I want to document for you all. Because I don't know when we're going to pass this way again, right? I mean, like, when will I ever say, well, I wrote the Duty Noble book. Let me go back and find some stuff off the cutting room floor. That's just not a very practical application of my time, and I don't think a lot of people would be interested. If they weren't good enough for this book, why would they be good enough for another? You know, so that's the way I see it. And if you hadn't done so, come join us over at jeanspage.com. Nobody covers the Bulldogs as extensively as we do. Matter of fact, I'm sure I'll be the only writer in town this weekend when we go to Arkansas. And as I mentioned, I was on the Dave Van Horn Zoom call earlier today. So, you know, we're credentialed and ready to go. And typically, it's just me on these road trips. And I kind of prefer it that way, to be honest with you. But you know, I feel like I've got an obligation. If I'm going to ask you guys to subscribe to our website and then enjoy and consume our content, we need to ensure that we're doing a good job producing quality content. And I can't do it all. Thankfully, I've got a big staff, but it enables me to get out and go do road baseball. And that's something that really didn't happen, you know, for decades Road games, nobody traveled to those games unless it just happened to be in Oxford or in Tuscaloosa. Nobody went otherwise. But, you know, I've been to Texas A&M. I've been to South Carolina. I've been to Florida. And I love getting out and going. I love being the only game in town because I enjoy being your eyes and ears. And I think that our program is worthy of that level of commitment. I think you guys want that. We cover every football game. We covered more basketball games and road games this year than we ever have. And so I share that with you really just because of the fact I think a lot of people think that everybody's just kind of the same, producing the same content, and that's just not true. We're going to go over and beyond for you because we are Mississippi State folks ourselves, most of us anyway, and we have a passion for what we do. It's not just a job. And it's interesting. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's the job. Then why doesn't everybody do it, right? So it's fine with me, absolutely fine with me. I love being there and having an opportunity to be able to ask your coaches and players questions about the games that you're so interested in. It's a big part of things. And so, but yeah, we're getting down to the end of this book cycle, and we'll finish kind of editing and doing rewrites in the month of June. We'll push off the print sometime around July 1st, and we expect to have that book in about 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, so that's how things stand with me, and I hope that that's something that you look forward to. But we thank you guys, as always, for your support of the Boneyard. I don't say it enough. But I love each and every one of you, even if you don't love me, right? And I hope the best for you in your life. I really, really do. And I'm not a kind of person that lives with bitterness and resentment. I'm the kind of person, too, that, you know, when I get upset with somebody, I have a tendency to kind of, you know, maybe overreact, you know? And that's something that long-term recovery and maturity has taught me, that it's better sometimes just to kind of let things be. And so I do try to do that. But one of the first things that I learned in recovery, my sponsor told me, he had me write down a list of all my enemies and then had me pray for them. That was very awkward and very difficult. You know, it's like, pray for them. I said, well, what am I supposed to pray for? Well, pray that they would have the things in their lives that you want for yourself. And I'm like, what? No, I don't want that. I don't believe that. I don't want that. And then in time, I learned that that bitterness and resentment was only hurting me. And so in time, I began to mean and believe those prayers. So I harbor no illness or bitterness in my heart towards many people. I always tend to say I don't have any enemies, but I do. Most of them are volunteers. They're not victims by any stretch of imagination. If you don't like me, it's because you don't like me. It's not because I've done anything to you. So that's the way I live my life, and I hope you do as well. But I hope that you guys have a great Mother's Day. I'll be sure to call my mom on Sunday. I hope that you do as well. Hopefully, maybe you can spend some time with her. But if you can, at least reach out and let her know. I talked to the bride earlier today about that. I said, hey, I'm sorry I'm not going to be here for Mother's Day. So I went ahead and gave her gifts today. She's not my mom, but she is the mother of my children. And I don't know that I can count on them to come through. But I wanted to make something special for her. And I told her, I said, I don't know if the kids are going to send anything or not. I don't know. And she goes, well, as long as I get a chance to talk to all of them. And so that means an awful lot, you know, to a mom, to be able to talk to their children anyway, but especially on Mother's Day, to be honored and remembered by their children. So consider that this weekend as you make your plans. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water. But we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.